We've been hearing about this for a few months. We talked to Brian Curtis, our buddy from The Ringer, who's pretty plugged in on all the sports media happenings. And the expectation was that there would be a host with Peyton and Eli. And there would be a straight man to sort of keep it all together and a haircut. And there was not. And I'm glad that there wasn't.
Yeah.
Now, they weren't in the same place. And I do think going forward, that could possibly be helpful. But overall, I realized midway through the second quarter that I had been smiling since this started. Like, actually grinning as I'm listening to Peyton and Eli, and they had Charles Barkley on for part of a quarter. They had Ray Lewis on for part of a quarter. But, you know, I think a lot of people would identify with this, and not to say that everybody who has a brother could do this, but the chemistry between two dudes who have just been busting each other's balls for the last 40 years is awesome, because they know they can say just about anything to the other one and it's okay. Whereas normal athlete guys who get into media, you got to be careful about making fun of me about being slow or about getting booed.
Plus, when you have Joe Buck with Aikman,
yeah,
you know, you have Thom with
right
athlete. Those guys don't have stuff in common except that they're in the booth,
right?
But the respect that these two have for each other, you know, and the accomplishments, it's a totally different vibe.
Yeah, the dynamic is
I thought it was unbelievable. And the thing I'm most fake mad about today is that so you're telling me that I like Eli Manning this much, because I like Eli Manning. I loved him.
He might have been better than Peyton.
Peyton's really good.
He wasn't really driving the bus like Peyton is, but I think that is a testament to Eli that he knows how to get it in where it fits in.
Yeah.
He wasn't just trying to take over.
It was so, so good. And I also keep thinking, this is week one.
Yeah.
And so you have to think by the 10th time they do it, they'll be better. Because I was thinking, are we going to just judge this thing harshly once we watch week one and it kind of sucks? It was so good.
And I hope the suits don't get too involved.
Dude, I'm even wondering, could they put it on big ESPN and just say, this is our main broadcast? Search for the other one? Because I can see this in the future.
Yeah.
I can see a future for this. You didn't have everything broken down to you. You didn't have everything, you know, reiterated. You probably couldn't watch this with your wife, right?
Right.
You need your mainstream people to watch, and that's probably where you get your big numbers, but there's got to be a lot of people that still don't know about this or didn't think about turning on ESPN2 or whatever, but I didn't really care about the Raiders versus the Ravens.
That would be an interesting test, right? Like, the Cowboys play on Monday Night Football in 2 weeks, and they will be doing that game.
And put these two.
Right. So if it was something you were really dialed into,
I got to watch it for the show.
That's the thing. You're probably not going to get as much like, hey, this is awkward that we get from normal broadcast crews outside of Joe and Troy. But I
got to watch it with these guys.
Yeah, we may just have to split it up. Here's how it started. They come right out of the gate, and it's clear they're just going to be finding this weird mix between really expert analysis and then just goofing around. I'm on my cable, Mino.
Hey, I was thinking, first Monday Night Football game you and I have watched since 1993. I was a senior. You were in the seventh grade. You had braces still. My acne had cleared up, if I recall, so I was looking good.
No, incorrect. Your acne was an all-time high. I think you actually had a great case of back knee going on. You're the guy, like, if you're trying to get people to put sunscreen on your back, and everybody's like, no, I'm not touching your back.
On Monday Night Football.
I cannot believe you just said that word on Monday Night Football. You had a horrible back knee going on. This is a funny story from Eli. It hurts, but, you know, Vegas was opening a stadium with fans for the first time, so brings up AT&T Stadium.
Yeah, no doubt. They want to go in and play spoiler. We went in 2009. Lawrence Tyne kicked a field goal with 4 seconds left for us to win. And so that's what they know. It's going to be loud. They know the crowd is going to be fired up. They want to get off to a fast start, try to quiet that crowd as soon as possible.
You signed the stadium, if I recall. You think Jerry still has that up in Jerry World?
I went back years later. It had been erased. I think he cut it out. I think he has it framed somewhere in his house probably. I know he wants to keep that.
We should have known that Eli had some underrated swag when he did that. That's a cool guy move. That's not the normal dork sort of Eli that I think of, that he wanted to stick it in Jerry's face so bad that he signed the locker room, the wall.
Okay, give me the audio cable, because late in the second half, they were talking about this too, and he kind of gave more of an inside story.
Have the last play of the game, get out of here with a win, let Lamar sign the wall in the locker room like Eli did.
Not sign the wall.
What was it? The locker room? What'd you sign?
Yeah, you know how every away locker room has like a locker room attendant. That's where you go in after the game and get your Bud Lights.
You got fired after letting you sign the Cowboys wall.
No, I went into the locker room attendant's room. I just went. He was starting a tradition. They have it in a lot of places. Start signing the wall. I went in the next year. There was like 25 signatures on there. And then I went in the next year after that, and it was all empty. They had, the guy was fired, I think, and they painted over the wall. So
that's a really weird tradition. So that guy probably shouldn't have been doing that.
To have opposing?
Yeah, that's really odd.
I don't know. If you think about it, if you did it for 20 years, and I mean, think if they were doing it in the 70s, and you have Joe Montana or 80s, right? Terry Bradshaw, like.
Yeah, just have the quarterbacks do it.
A lot of huge names on there.
Win or lose?
No, just win.
I want to remember all my beatdowns at home.
I think if you lose, you probably wouldn't want to sign it.
Yeah.
That's a good call.
Anyway.
A big theme of the half that I was dialed into this for was them talking about how slow they are. Because you had Lamar.
Because, Peyton kept saying, Lamar, it's tough for me to even comment on what he's doing here because I don't have any idea what he's doing.
And then, the Raiders went to Mariota a couple times, and he broke a couple big plays, and that was constant fodder for them, just joking about how slow they were. This is pretty good.
Lamar, Eli, of course, he came to the Manning Passing Academy. What a great attitude. I remember he didn't have his cleats. His luggage got lost. It didn't matter. He was upbeat the whole time. He was just as fast in tennis shoes than you and I ever were in cleats.
What were you teaching them, Peyton?
So right here they have Lamar in high school, and Peyton's behind him. There's just a still shot from back then.
What were you teaching them, Peyton? Were you teaching them how to run? Yeah, like, what was
funny.
Your philosophy?
After this throw, he was asking me about how I like to juke in the open field. I said, Lamar, I can't tell you that right now.
Say, dodge one, split two?
Yeah,
dodge one, split two?
That was it, yeah.
That was always your philosophy, I thought.
As if you have a running philosophy as well.
Yeah, get down. I tried to run really slow that way, I don't know why.
I'm not going to tell anybody about the 6.240 you ran in seventh grade. I was going to save that for.
I was wearing a helmet.
Three.
You told me I had to wear a helmet.
We're wearing a helmet.
Football camp.
You were looking through your face mask. You couldn't see. You were looking up. So, anyway, Lamar Jackson.
I just imagine.
It's a funny excuse.
High school, big time quarterback, high school star Peyton Manning tells his seventh grade little brother, no, you have to run with a helmet on. He's like, I don't know, I guess that's what everyone else is doing. He's like, you told me I had to wear a helmet.
That's great.
This is a funny Harbaugh story because they would weave in analysis. And so Peyton had talked to Greg Roman, Baltimore's OC. And that gave Peyton a story that he really wanted to share.
Speaking of Greg Roman, Eli, I texted him for a little insight on a long-winded play. That's the one he gave me. He's like, I can't tell you anything unless you confirm this is you. What kind of sandwich did Jim Harbaugh order when the 49ers worked you out back in 2012? Quick story, I watched film with the 49ers. I threw for the 49ers. We're down at Duke at the Cutcliffe House. Me, John Harbaugh's brother Jim, and Greg Roman. We're leaving. Mrs. Cutcliffe is like, would y'all like something to eat? She really didn't want us.
Just being nice.
She was just trying to be nice, right? I'm like, no thanks. Greg Roman's like, no thanks. Coach Cutcliffe's like, no thanks. Jim Harbaugh's like, I'll have a PB&J.
Of course, a little PB&J.
And she's like, I haven't made one of those since my kids were eight. I'm not sure. Yeah, but I mean, if you're offered, I'll take a PB&J. Anyway, Greg Roman's like, what kind of sandwich did Harbaugh order? I said, PB&J. He's like, this is you. Here's your play. Thank you.
What? He's not to be able to confirm. You just told everybody. He's not to be able to confirm it's you anymore. He's got to come up with a new question.
Well, I mean, I've been wanting to tell that story for 9 years. It's just kind of been bottled up, but had to get on a megacast to be able to share it.
That's funny for a lot of reasons, because we know the Harbaughs are weird dudes.
Yeah.
Drinking milk with their steak, wearing the same khakis every day. And it does seem like a very Harbaugh move when someone's just trying to be nice. You guys hungry for anything? No. Actually, I'll take a peanut butter and jelly sandwich if you don't mind. Real football guy move. A couple more for you here. They had some weird prop type situations where, you know, Peyton puts a headset on and Eli's pretending to be quarterback. And then they had Peyton actually put a Ravens helmet on with his sweater. It looked very funny. And he's pretending to be Lamar here.
All right, here we go.
Lamar Jackson.
All right, here's a long one. We got one mid trips right bunch, eight settle, 51 scat, eight sweep rail wide line can, three jet church.
Here we go. Be a little on the weave here, right? One mid trips right bunch, eight settle, 51 scat, eight sweep rail wide line can, three jet church. Blue right, 20, blue 20, easy. Can.
What's the can mean?
He just canned it right there. Those are two plays I just caught. Helmet doesn't fit.
Shocking that a helmet doesn't fit you. They didn't have a double XL helmet to fit that forehead.
All right. He called two plays in the huddle, right? The first play.
So now they get back to the analysis, but just in the middle of it. Oh, shocking. The helmet they gave you doesn't fit.
And then they'll go break down the two plays in the most intricate form you've ever heard.
Seamless.
But it's just fascinating.
This seems perfect for TV.
Oh, my gosh.
Like, better than Romo, better than
because
anything
you can
a network
see,
put
yeah.
out.
Yeah, you don't have to just say this guy got 3 yards. You could see that. And then it's, his dad was his junior high coach.
Oh,
and, you
yeah,
know, like, it's
yeah.
they're always the searching for interest. Something. Yeah. Like, this, you just said it. It's perfect for TV.
It'll be interesting 6-7 weeks from now. Hopefully they don't run out of material. I don't think they will, because you guys said they're brothers. So they always have something.
Yeah, and they also know guys throughout the league, so that'll be interesting too. A guy that they played with that they remember this about.
I'm really interested now to watch the Cowboys broadcast with this and see if I can take enough, you know.
Yeah. If you feel like you watched the game closely. That's the main thing.
Because I'm watching them. Right. Last night I was watching them. I really didn't care what was happening in the game.
No, I was the same way. All right, I'm going to play you one more quick thing here, and then we'll get to the second half. They had Charles Barkley here, and he was wearing a Carl Nassib jersey, which is cool. You're showing support, openly gay player, but it also felt kind of look at me-ish.
Sure.
But, you know, I guess that's the name of the game. And they start talking about getting booed at home.
Hey, Charles, you ever get booed at home when you're playing at home? It never happened to you, right? You didn't get fans.
Hey, Pete, I played in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. That was a regularity.
They're not booing yet.
You were lucky, Peyton. Everybody likes you. Eli knows what it's like to be booed at home. Trust me.
I do, yeah. Towards the end of my career, it was every game. They were booing me at home.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draftaccess to register for free entry today.